everyone. Welcome to the Grace Hour, our program that takes a dive into the believers' daily lives and helps them to learn their faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Matt Garrett, and I am joined here by Philippe Siragi. No adjectives whatsoever, just Philippe Siragi.
Thank you.
And we are here in the studio today. We're going to be talking about how to deal with hurt in your soul.
Yes.
How to deal with hurt in your soul. So maybe to start things off, I think Philippe has a really great basis for our conversation.
Oh, you're putting me on the spot.
Absolutely putting you on the spot, because you are the man to put on the spot.
Okay. Well, the whole week, actually, the conversation is hurt. Mm-hmm. And so I think the way we framed our topic today, need to look at things, is how do we reconcile hurt within in our soul? So there's a few things we will talk about. There's a few things we won't talk about.
Yeah.
Because we have to, you know, stay focused on our conversation. The first thing we're saying is that, you know, we know that people have been hurt in life in a very deep way.
Yes.
It could be abuse. It could be all kinds of things. And we're not discussing this, and certainly not discussing this in a light way, a belittling way,
right,
of saying, well, move on. You know, Jesus loves you, and these are the two verses you need, and then let's move on.
Yes.
So we know that sometimes people will need counseling and genuinely help, and mm-hmm. we're not qualified, neither of us, to do that. So we're not discussing this.
Yeah.
What we're discussing is, and the other thing also to frame the conversation is that we passed the idea that did I really get hurt?
Yes.
Okay. Let's say we did in the conversation, for the sake of the conversation, we did.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes it is true. We could say that sometimes, you know, we get hurt because, as the Bible says, we can be easily offended.
Right.
So this is this is part of our life where we need to be mature. Mm-hmm. But we're not discussing this today. Where we're looking at
absolutely
someone who's
not
getting hurt, and how do we live with that hurt, and yeah, and how we do we deal with it?
Yeah, basically we are not anybody's judge.
No.
We are assuming that there is a deep hurt in your soul, and that there is something that has really affected you, possibly really affected your walk with God,
mm-hmm.
possibly really affected your ability to gather together with the saints and be with the body of Christ because
yes.
of something that has happened within the body of Christ,
right,
or within any sphere of influence in your life.
Right.
And it affects your relationships with people.
Yeah. And then what we're trying to say, and as I said earlier, that we're not discussing the depth of like really real trauma
right.
or whatever in the one way. But what we're saying, though,
mm-hmm.
is that everything the Bible says applies to all of us.
Yes.
Small hurt, huge hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Like someone who's been deeply offended, but hurt, like in a meaningful,
mm-hmm.
like, not meaningful is not a real way, but like a deep way. Then whatever the Bible says about getting help, you know,
yeah.
because I said earlier, like, you know, we're not here to throw three verses and move on.
No.
But the verses we are actually bringing out today can be applied to anyone's hurt,
right,
small and big.
Yes.
You know, somebody who went through some traumatic experience in their life, whether, you know, at work, in their family or at church or whatever the place they've been, you know, in the place where they experience hurt with people.
Yeah.
No matter how deep the hurt is, the answer is the same. It might take longer. If
mm-hmm.
my hurt is
mm-hmm.
small, I can move on. If my hurt is deep, I will have to move on as well. It might make some more time, but the truth stays the same. And
right.
that is very important for us to say that.
Yeah, extremely. Yeah. And I just want to bring two verses to light at the very start to say that this is what we believe. This is how we believe the Word of God can affect you
mm-hmm.
in your life. And we're not saying it's the end-all, be-all, but we're saying that we believe the Word is capable
yes.
of this. We believe God, more specifically, is capable
mm-hmm.
of this. So one of them is Psalm 107, verse 20.
Uh-huh.
And I think they used this verse a couple of times yesterday, but it's very poignant. It says, He sent His Word and healed them
yes.
and delivered them from their destructions. And then another one in the New Testament, and I'm really just speaking on the power of the Word, the inspiration it has for us in our lives. The other one is Hebrews chapter 4
yeah.
and verse 12. And this is...
I just didn't there.
Oh, God, you want to read it?
Oh,
okay,
you
okay,
stole
okay.
my thunder.
Oh, gosh,
it's okay.
Here we
I'll
go.
Survive. You hurt me.
Oh, no. Okay, all right, no, but for real. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul
yes.
and spirit. We're talking about the hurt that goes way down
yes.
deep into our souls, into our spirits, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We
yes.
believe
yes.
that the Word of God
yes.
can reach these places,
yes.
can reach these traumas, reach these hurts.
Yeah. And sometimes I think people will feel like they can dismiss the Word because they feel it's like religious. But
mm-hmm.
no, I think if we take the Word for what it is, it is exactly the heart of God expressed to us. And God is saying in this verse,
yeah.
no matter how deep your hurt is, God says, I can help.
Yes.
I can help. I can divide the real, the feelings from the actual hurt. I can help you walk through this. Mm-hmm. And if there is no help for hurt, PTSD, trauma, depression in the world, then there's no help at all.
No.
And then God is limited in what he can
do. And then there's no point for a church at all either. What does Christ say about the church? He says, I have not come for the healthy and the righteous. I have come for the broken and those who need those who need healing, the unrighteous. I have come for those people.
Yes. Yeah. I think what you're saying is actually a good segue for a conversation we had last week about people using the sentence church hurt.
Yeah.
A few things I'd like to say about this. Number one is I don't think there is such a thing as a church hurt. We cannot be hurt by the church. You can be hurt by people in the church.
Yes.
You can be hurt 100%. By leaders in the church. Of course we can. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, as you said, the church is a place, it's like a hospital.
Yeah.
Right? So when I go to the church, I go to the church because I need it, not because I lead it. And even if I lead it, I need it as much as you do.
Right.
And it's like, people, I heard this comparison one day. It's like you would expect to see at the church what you see in a hospital. Just like if you go to the gym, you don't see everybody's healthy at the gym. You have some healthy people and you have really unhealthy people that try to put their life together.
Yeah.
So the church is the same. So no wonder why we can get hurt at church, because the people who go to church are as imperfect as I am.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just want to say that.
No, that's a really great example. So I think maybe the first question we're dealing with here today is the main question of the segment, the main question, how do we deal with hurt? How do we reconcile hurt in our souls? And I want to go to Psalm 42 just really, really briefly, like kind of quickly here, and mention something, because I think what happens here, the psalmist, it's probably not David. It's probably one of the sons of Korah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get into the history of the sons of Korah, but I think it's really cool that the sons of Korah are writing this psalm.
Mm-hmm.
And what they say at the very beginning, first couple verses, and then maybe verse 5 is really important. Psalm 42, verse 1, as the heart pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So maybe the very first point, the main point, is that this person, the psalmist, whoever's writing this, they are looking and desiring to be filled by the presence of God. Okay? And then here comes the hurt. Here comes like the real problem in the psalmist's life. It's verse 5. And he says this. I think this is really brave. I think if you have been hurt, I think it's extremely brave to ask yourself this question and to go to God with this question. I think that's maybe the first step. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul?
Mm-hmm.
And why are you disquieted in me? Hope you in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. So the first part, he is just very clearly like, okay, there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's deep. It hurts. I don't know what it is. And then he like starts to apply faith a little bit, and he's asking God these questions just as much as he's asking himself. So I think, how do we deal with hurt? I think the very first step of anything, of any problem in our lives, is acknowledging it.
Yes.
Is making it known in our own heart and our own mind.
Yes.
Because as soon as we're honest about that with ourselves, then we can be honest and transparent before God, and we give him opportunity to speak to us in whatever that situation is, for the word of God to go deep and to touch us in our soul and in our spirit.
Yeah, and I think what strikes me in the verse is what you're saying. The first thing is that, okay, we say almost as a joke sometimes, the first step to resolving a problem is acknowledging you have one. So it's almost like, it's almost what you're saying, but the one thing that strikes me here is the part B of the verse, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance.
Mm-hmm.
Like the help is not there yet, apparently, because he's actually suffering in his soul.
Yes.
And we can feel this way sometimes, like helpless or hurt or wondering, and we can we can ask so many questions about our lives. But the one thing I see here is something we could talk about is confession.
Yeah.
Right? He's actually saying, hope in God. He's talking to himself and say, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. So the help is not there, but he's expecting the help from God.
Yes.
And I think confession is also something important, because confession is not saying something you don't believe. Confession is something you believe God said.
Yes.
Which is very different.
Uh-huh.
Because I can try to trick myself in thinking positively. That's a positive thinking, the alternative positive thinking that you would find in the world. But by faith, I do know who God is, and I can actually quote his verses and his word, because that will heal me, as we said earlier. But confession, to me, is bringing another perspective on my situation.
Yeah, 100%. And I think of another psalm. I think of David. I think of Psalm 32, because he just nails this kind of on the head. This is what he says whenever he doesn't, like, when he doesn't acknowledge it, when he doesn't make known the elephant in his soul or in the room or whatever's going on. It says in Psalm 32, verse 3, he says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long.
Yeah.
For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. And then that word in the psalm, Selah, like, pause, think about this. Like, when you're quiet about it, when you don't acknowledge it, when you don't speak about it, when you don't bring it to the light, like, it torments you. It says in 1 John that fear has torment, and you're almost fearing this thing that took place in your life.
Yeah.
You're fearing that it'll happen again, and so you try to dismiss it, keep it quiet, and it's not a big thing. But really, what does God want? What David says in the first two verses and the fifth verse: blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And this is like speaking about what God can do. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. I acknowledged my sin unto you, and my iniquity have I not hid. This is more personal confession for personal wrong, but I still think it applies, hiding it or making it known. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Yeah.
Huge difference.
Yes, it's huge, and I think the correlation here, we want to talk about forgiveness a little later, not as deep as the end of the week, is I think somebody would bring up the idea of forgiveness in hurt.
Sure.
But you're saying here, like, the physical consequences of lack of confession, also lack of forgiveness, is something that is medically proven. And we have an article that we'll bring up, maybe we have time today, but it's true. Whether I don't confess my sins or whether I don't go to God about my hurts, both ways, I'm actually being more of a victim than anything else. Because it's just like someone who has a genuine sickness and goes to the doctor with the diagnosis and the prescriptions and goes home with the prescription that never takes the pills.
Right.
It's ridiculous in one way, because and of course I could say, well, you know, you don't understand. I have this cancer. Well, here's the chemo. I get it, but you don't understand. I have cancer.
Yeah.
Right.
But here's a valid treatment for you.
Here's a valid treatment for you. You know, and that's the idea. I think sometimes when we hurt, we don't see the bigger picture, and that's why I used the word perspective as well earlier. It's one question that I do ask a lot when I talk to someone in, you know, conversation, when there is maybe grief or situations that I'm as a friend, you know, one question that I ask, even the young people we're working with, is, do you think that God has something to say in your situation?
Right.
And the reason why I'm asking the question is because I want them to acknowledge that there's more to their life than the hurt or the difficult situations. And that's why we were talking about the word earlier, like confessing the word of God. As we said in Hebrews 4, it's very clear, like, the word will do its work. Like Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways.
Yeah.
And he's adding, like, my word will not return to me void. Like,
right.
If it's sent through the joints and supply and you know, and the soul, the sender, as we said in Hebrews 4, when it comes back to God, it does its work.
Yeah.
And that's the really, really powerful tool that we have as a Christian when we're dealing with hurt.
Right. Yeah, I think God wants to speak personally to us about anything that's happening in our lives. I don't think God wants us to think that he's far away. I think he wants us to think that he's near to us.
Yes.
I think he wants us to realize that, and that when we acknowledge him and go to him, he has something for us. We don't always know what it'll be. We don't always know if the answer will be pleasant at the time, but we do know he has something for us. This brings to mind this idea, this book that we were talking about the other day. It's called Total Forgiveness by R.T. Kendall.
Yes.
And I have a disclaimer. I have not read the book. I've only heard great things about it. I want to read this book. But he brings up Joseph's life, and that's kind of the main theme you said of this book. Right?
Yeah, that's the
He brings up Joseph's life, and he talks about, instead, okay, a lot of times, let me say this first, because I want to be a little careful. It's really easy when we're hurt to put the onus on someone else.
Yes.
It's really easy for us to say, I've been hurt and this person needs to pay for it, or this thing needs to happen, or this needs to take
place. It's only natural to
very natural. It's very normal, and there's nothing like wrong with that. But what the author of this book does, and what we like do when we, what happens in our lives when we go to God, is he starts to turn to us and say, hey, what about this in your life? How about we work on this? So like you think of Joseph, okay, you think of maybe the pride he had in displaying his coat of many colors. You think of the way he went to his brothers and his parents and said, oh, I had a dream. You guys are all going to bow to me. This is just the way it's going to go. This is what's going to happen. And he gets sold into slavery, right? He gets, like, his brothers want to kill him, but he gets sold into slavery. Imagine how much work God could have done in his life in that time when he was like in a jail cell.
Yeah.
When he was waiting to be, you know, sold off to someone's household. Imagine how much work God could have like pointed to him and said, hey, what about this in your life? Do you think this has anything to do with why you got hurt?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, we're not casting the blame on one party or the other, but we believe that God like really wants us to grow from it too. We believe he wants us to come out of it. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. He wants good things to come out of these situations in our lives. And we know amazing things happened in Joseph's life moving forward. And it wasn't all at once. It wasn't all like right away. It was over a course of time with lots of loneliness, lots of isolation, and just to see that transformation in his life to the point where he comes to his brothers later.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, like he just empties the room and says, hey, it's me.
Yes.
And you know, he doesn't acknowledge anything that he did, but he doesn't also acknowledge anything that they did. He says, like, don't even be angry with yourselves for what you did. Like, I'm your brother and I love you and I forgive you. And like, here's the kingdom of Egypt for you guys to come and be in. And here's any provision that you guys could possibly need.
Yeah. And then, like in 45, there's a few things to say in Genesis 45 in the story of Joseph. The first thing is that, as we say, the perspective, the bigger picture. We see that in the book of Job.
Yeah.
We see that, of course, in the life of Joseph and so many people in the Bible. They are not like, you know, we don't know how, the Bible does not describe how they feel, so we can assume that if they're human beings, and they are, they feel the same way. Like, I don't know if you're 17 or 18 year old and every brother you have wants to kill you except one. So the best, instead of saving you, they sell you to be a slave.
Yeah.
And then, so they destroy the family. But the whole, like, when he says to his brother, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember if it's Psalm 105 or 78 where the Bible says God sent Joseph to Egypt.
Yeah.
And to me, that blew my mind when I read that one and thinking, wait a minute, he was not sent by God. He was sold by his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, no, I sent him to Egypt. Mm-hmm. And Joseph was capable to go beyond the hurt, go to God about it, and then be in a position, as we've seen in Genesis 45, not only to see that God used them to save them.
Yeah.
Honestly, if I would have been in Joseph's places, I would have seen my revenge opportunity like no one else.
Right.
Oh, look at me, guys. You thought you got rid of me. And you don't know how horrible the Egyptians are when it comes to torture.
Mm-hmm.
You've never dreamed of possible tortures I'm going to, you know, have you go through. He's telling him a few things. Number one, God meant it for good. You meant it for evil. Number two, don't be angry against yourself.
Yeah.
And that's amazing to be like, I forgave you.
Yeah.
And then so to me, this is mind blowing.
Really. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a total intervention from God. Like, that's something that he speaks into them in his life and in our lives when we've been hurt. So we have a question here. It's, I have been hurt. How do I deal with it? Okay, these are the questions for the show. They're just popping up now. Okay, so maybe one tail off from Joseph's story is that, could you imagine being in that situation yourself?
Yeah.
Would you not, like you said, would you not want revenge for what happened to you? Would you not feel like you've been treated unfairly and this, you know, life has come against you and God, why would you do this to me? And you start to like lash out at the people who did it to you.
Yes.
I think our Bible addresses that too. I think it says things to us. I'm going to read a few verses from Romans 12, and then I'd love for you to weigh in. It says in verse 17, it says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. if it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. And as I'm reading this, just listen to how God is speaking to you directly, to us directly, whenever we read these verses. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, yes, says the Lord. Mm-hmm. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Finally, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And I can't get over that idea of, mm-hmm, like, God is speaking directly to me, mm-hmm, in whatever situation I've been hurt in. Like, I think we could both say we've been hurt at different times in our, yes, lives. I think we could also both say, in all honesty, we've probably hurt others in our lives
we
as
have.
Well. And, yes, and we pay for those things before God. He sends leanness into our souls. He does all sorts of things to chastise us, and we know it, mm-hmm, right? But whenever it's us being hurt, we have, like, directions from God. Okay, yes, how do I do this? Recompense no man evil for evil. Yes. Really, Lord? Yes. Really? Yeah. What do you think? Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at those questions that pop up, and the first one is, I've been hurt. How do I deal with it? I think we've been discussing this, you know, yeah, the last 10 minutes. Number, yeah, one is we're confessing truth.
Yep.
You know, that's what we see another perspective. The other one, we forgive. We'll talk more about that.
Yeah.
Number three, we saw that through the Genesis 45. You know, story of Joseph. Number three, we don't seek revenge.
Right.
That would be the natural way of this. And then we ask the question: is there anything that God wants to say in my so these are the four things we've been discussing, and I think it kind of, you know, answers, yeah, the question. The second one we have here that comes up is, what do I talk to when I've been hurt by the church? Again, I'd like to recalibrate the questions.
Yeah.
Like, I do not believe that I can use that sentence, hurt by the church.
Yeah.
You get hurt by people.
Yes.
You don't get hurt by the church. The church is the precious bride of Christ.
Yeah.
And then, but we are the ones living in it. And as leaders, we mess up as much as anybody else.
Absolutely.
So you said earlier, do we hurt people? Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Willingly, unwillingly, we do that. That's, mm-hmm, what we do as human beings. And we hope sometimes to have the discernment to be able to see that.
Yeah.
So we can go and ask for forgiveness.
And we seek forgiveness, and we,
yes,
and we, like, go to God first, yes, for it, and then we, yeah, go to the person afterwards.
Yes.
And if the relationship can't be reconciled,
right,
we trust God for that relationship,
yes,
moving forward.
Yeah.
And that's all there is to it. But this is a great question.
Yes.
Who do I talk to when I've been hurt by someone in the church? Who do I talk to when I've been hurt by let's say it's the leader of a church. Let's,
yes,
say the head pastor has hurt you in some way. Again, we're not judging. We're just saying right from the onset, yes, you've been hurt. We believe that. We understand that. So who do you talk to?
Yeah, the first.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, the first thing I want to come to is Matthew 18, which,
yes,
applies to everything. There is
perfect.
No, I mean, Matthew 18 is the way the Bible gives us how to tell us how we go through discipline in the church.
Yeah.
And again, we need to remember that the goal of any steps of discipline is not discipline in itself. It's
right.
reconciliation,
yes,
and it's rehabilitation,
mm-hmm,
restoration.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, who do I talk to if I've been hurt by the church? The thing is, we're not discussing any hurt that is beyond. It's something that can be dealt with,
yeah,
in the brotherly love.
Yeah.
You know, when
it's not something
we're not talking about
illegal.
Abuse.
We're
yes,
not, yeah,
yes,
right.
So of course, like, when something happens, you know, whoever that is in,
yeah,
the hospital, work, church, whatever, and then anybody, you know, that you know that did something that is illegal of any form of abuse, then we go to the law.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we are as Christians, we also are citizens of the country we're living in, and we are abiding by the law.
Yeah.
We want to do that.
Yes.
Of course, so we're not discussing that.
Right.
But where do I talk to if I've been hurt by someone in the church I'm going to? But I'm going to my brother and my brother-in-law. That's what we see here in,
yeah,
in Matthew 18.
Mm-hmm.
There are three steps in Matthew 18. Number one is I go to my brother-in-law, and hopefully this is what we're saying, like, those conversations have as a goal to restore, because that's what he says. If you warn your brother, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Stop at number one.
Yeah.
Which actually takes us to question number three.
Yeah.
How do I guard my heart from gossip? It's one way it can be worse. Number two, if it doesn't work, I go to two or three witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm,
hopefully, Jesus says again, maybe you warn the heart of your brother.
Yeah.
There you go. He couldn't listen to you. Now you come up with three guys, not mafioso with baseball bats, but brothers,
right,
that love people.
Yeah.
And then, or it could be
not
me
creating a,
yes,
conspiracy against,
no,
them, just honest people,
yes,
who are objective and you can bring to the conversation.
Yes. And number three, if none of these things work, you tell the church.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. This is very simple, you know, and then we bring it up to the church. And if, let's say, if I find myself, like, if there's a genuine something that happened, and it's been the leader in the church,
mm-hmm,
okay, and I'm looking at something, I'm going through the steps, and I'm saying this out as a preacher because I did. Years ago, I had to do something.
Yeah.
I was leading the church, and we had some issues that I brought it up.
Right.
And then being, you know, it didn't work out. My thing is, okay, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go somewhere else.
Right. A healthy church government will take care of it, and if the church government is not healthy,
then I don't want to be a part of it.
Sure. Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah.
You know, so in one way, I know it sounds very simple, but again, we're talking about hurts that can be resolved among brothers. We're not talking about the hurt that are, you know, traumatic as an experience,
right.
Of course.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's extremely important that first we take the question down to it's an individual. Okay, the individual hurts you, and that's where we come to Matthew 18.
Yes.
That's where we go. That's where we get the idea, go to your brother alone. That is extreme. So many people are going to bypass that.
Yes.
So many people who are hurt, one, they're going to bypass going to God. They're not going to do what the psalmist like does in Psalm 42. They're not going to address it. They're not going to acknowledge it. Their bones are going to be dried up inside of them. It says in Proverbs, a wounded spirit, who can bear?
Yes.
It becomes very burdensome for everyone around you.
Yes.
In Hebrews chapter 12, a root of bitterness is going to spring up. If the root of bitterness springs up, it's like, wow, that's a really hard thing to deal with.
Yes.
And there has to be something you can do. So we go to these verses, we go to the Word of God, we believe it will touch us wherever we're at in this hurt, and we believe it can take care of us. Whenever we're hurt by a person, we speak to them, let me ask you this. You're hurt by a person, but you never go and speak to them.
Yes.
How do you even know if they know that they hurt you?
You can't.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's an extremely important point. If someone says something and it's like a sweeping general statement and it hits you directly, like square in the forehead, whatever that statement may be, and you don't address it with that person, then they're just going to keep living their life as if nothing's wrong, your relationship's great, and you're going to harbor this resentment in your heart, and you're going to deflect that towards that person, and then all of your conversations and interactions with that person are going to start to take on this form of hypocrisy.
Yes.
Hypocrisy means putting a mask on.
Yes.
And you're going to put this mask on, you're going to go speak to them, but you're going to have, what does it say in the book of Proverbs, this is really good. This is really good. Proverbs 26, and I'm sorry, and I'll stop. I'll start preaching in a second.
Preach it, brother.
Where is it? Let's see. Oh, man. Please tell me it's here. Please tell me it's here.
I think we're taking a break for commercial.
Yeah, yeah. Proverbs 26. Sorry. Proverbs 26, verse 25. When he speaks fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart.
Yes.
He's not coming to you with his real self, or she's not coming to you with her real self, because there has been something hurt that has taken place.
Yeah. And the other thing we could say also is like, it's okay. And because it's easy, honestly, I could look today. We could do a test today. Okay. Look around and kind of, do I see someone? Will I be, if I want to be offended today, can I create a position? Yes. I say hi to someone, they barely respond, what am I, chopped liver or something?
Yep.
And then, so there's many things I could say. But the other thing is I could also look at is because let's talk about the hurt, like in close relationship, like marriage, for example.
Sure.
That do I really want to bring up everything that my wife is saying or doing that I think is offensive?
Right.
That's going to be a very lively, beautiful marriage I'm going to have. Because I'm going to look at her and bring her down every single time I can.
Right.
That's not really useful.
No.
So the other thing is when you're saying, like, if I don't tell someone that they offended me, I will have to harbor that. Or the other thing is I could also not say anything and decide that to forgive them in my heart and move on with God.
100%.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. You could just totally let it go.
Yes.
And there's a couple of verses on that. Love covers a multitude of sins.
Yes.
You are choosing to walk and act in love
rather
than pointing out, let's see, Matthew 7, pointing out the speck in someone else's eye, ignoring the beam in your own. That's a really great point.
Yes.
Like, blessed is the man whose transgressions are covered.
Yes.
Like this, that's the beauty of a marriage relationship.
Yes.
That the husband and the wife can cover each other's sins and love and walk together and still be agreed. Amos 3:3.
Yeah. And the thing is, how much power do I give people in my life so they can hurt me all the time?
Mm.
It happens a lot. Like if you have an unhealthy relationship with someone, it could be a girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, it could be friends, whatever. And sometimes you realize that, wow, every time they do or say something that is out of line and it hurts you the wrong way, and then you work hard to recover. That means those people have a lot of power in your life, and they shouldn't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's something that we talk about when we do premarital counseling.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, like if you get hurt every time your girlfriend or boyfriend says something, you got to be careful with that because you're going to be spending the rest of your life with that person.
Yeah.
And if you can't handle this, it's going to be a real problem. Yeah. We know that for a fact. So, again, we're not talking about major hurt, of course, like if a husband or a woman, because even though we don't think it happens, it does happen.
It could happen either way. Yeah.
Abuse physically.
Verbal, physical.
Psychologically. Yeah. And then we're talking here about police activity right there. But
But
on the other hand, you know, it's easy for me to get hurt if I want to, if I don't pay attention. And it's also easy for me to move on if I let God do his work in my heart.
Yeah. And let's just bring it up now because I think it's important.
Let's bring it up.
From Johns Hopkins.
Johns Hopkins.
The title.
Baltimore's
okay,
very
Johns
best hospital.
Hopkins. Are you hearing this?
Yes.
Johns Hopkins study on forgiveness. Okay.
A
medical study by Johns Hopkins on forgiveness. Have I said it
enough?
How
about that? Yeah, I think we said it.
All right, cool. Forgiveness, your health depends on it. Listen to this one statement by Karen Swartz, medical doctor, director of the Mood Disorders Adult Consultation Clinic. There is an enormous physical burden to being hurt and disappointed.
Yeah.
An enormous physical burden. Your anxiety levels are raised. Your depression, likelihood of depression is higher.
Yes.
Your angst, your worry, all of this stuff actually affects your life in a negative way.
Yes.
Like this is medically proven.
Yeah.
But whenever we're talking about forgiveness and actually like forgiving and moving on and not bringing it up again and letting something go, this can have like a great relieving effect on your health.
Yes.
It can take away the anxiety. It can take away the depression. It can take away the worries and the doubts. And you can just like be walking free of all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I read the study as well. This is what it says at some point. The first, like, unresolved conflict can go deeper than you may realize.
Right.
It may be affecting your physical health. That's the point of the article by that doctor, right? The good news, studies have found that the act of forgiveness can reap huge rewards for your health.
Yes.
Lowering your risk of heart attack, improving cholesterol level and sleep, and reducing pain and blood pressure and levels of anxiety and depression and stress.
Yeah.
It's amazing to realize that. I mean, and the Bible has said this all along in one way. And in the, you know, like medicine here, at least in this article, just like shows the importance of acts having, it says that an act of forgiveness can reap huge rewards for your health.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing because in what we're seeing here is, and we can go further in the article, there's plenty of things interesting in there, but what we're seeing here is that the one who really suffers from a lack of forgiveness is not the guy who offended you.
Right.
It's you.
Yes.
If you offend me, which you do a lot, but I'm, you know, I'm saying like it was a joke, but you didn't pick it up. It's fine.
No, I was just tired. I was just debating how to deal with
that
because I just got hurt.
I just want to say, all right, good listeners, that Pastor Matt had a second kid, and we're joking at the beginning.
I don't sleep so much.
That's what I said.
Yeah, it's
you
okay.
Either have kids or you have sleep. And he has kids, I have sleep. So anyway, let's move on.
Okay.
The whole point here is that if I get hurt by someone, like you hurt me or I hurt you, whatever, you know, and then if you don't find the room for forgiveness in your soul, if I don't find room for forgiveness, I'm the one suffering from this.
Yeah.
So when we say to people, let the word, as we said earlier, how do we deal with hurt? We talk about confession, perspective, the word of God.
Yeah. Yep.
The reason why this is key, we're talking to the person who's been hurt, because if you don't reach the point where you find forgiveness in the Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be the one suffering mentally, in your soul, as it says here, depression, anxiety, stress, and also your blood pressure, your heart is at risk.
Yeah.
These are really, really big deals. That's why we are talking about forgiveness.
Yeah, stress levels really, really affect every function of your body and specifically how your heart pumps blood through the body and how, you know, everything's running respiratorily. Some verses that like back this idea up of how forgiveness is one, a choice. This is what Dr. Schwartz says. You are choosing to offer compassion and empathy to the person who wronged you.
Yes.
And this is like this conscious choice, just the way we're talking about consciously going to God, consciously confessing it, consciously bringing it out if it needs to be brought out. Okay. And then here are some verses. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
Forbearing one another and forgiving one another.
Yes.
If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you forgive them. And this is a really important point, I think. When we decide whether or not we want to forgive someone else, one of our motivations can be, if we're being honest with ourselves, is do we understand the amount of crap we have put on Jesus Christ?
Yes.
And the amount of transgressions that he has forgiven us from. Cody doesn't like that I just used the word crap, but that's okay.
Yeah,
I think it's fine.
He's offended.
He's offended.
He will have to deal with hurt from now.
but like when we think about all the things that we've done and against Christ and against God and against like his holiness and righteousness, how much has he forgiven us? This then can motivate us to forgive someone yes. else and be like, well, I mean, I've done worse things to God than what this person has done to me. So, I mean, that's just one verse. There's multiple verses. But Ephesians 4:32, Luke 6:37. Go ahead.
Yeah. Can you repeat those for people?
Sure. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and then Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Also, Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15.
You know, when I in the same article, it says, you know, as you release the anger, resentment, and hostility because of forgiveness, still, it's that article that, you know, we talk about here. So it's not something written by Christians. It's something written by medical doctors. You begin to feel empathy, compassion, sometimes even affection for the person who wronged you.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, are you kidding me? It's amazing because the other way, it's one way you say it's, you talk about, I think, Matthew 7:3, right? You look in the beam in your eye instead of the speck. And that's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, if I get offended and I think we said it enough. Like, we understand you've been hurt.
Yes.
We've been hurt. We understand that.
Yeah.
Okay. So sometimes in deep ways. But the point here is, what do we do from there?
Yes.
And if I don't let God show me what I need to see, which is the confessions we said earlier, but the other point that it's made here is like, they are humans as much as you are.
Mm-hmm.
And if I think that I cannot forgive someone, it's because I find myself above God, because God do forgive people.
Yeah.
And that's what C.S. Lewis used to say. You know, he used to say, when I actually look at someone I don't accept to give them forgiveness, I place myself as a higher judge than God.
Right.
That's really strong.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, Jesus said yourself, okay, you look at the speck and these people are, yes, they did hurt you, but come on. Do you see the beam in your eye?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point here is like the medical doctor is saying, and the Bible is agreeing on this, is that we need to understand that people mess up. That's what they do.
Yeah.
So how do we move on from this?
Right.
Right? How can I move on? Because if I don't realize that, and of course the hurt gets harder when it's someone closer to you or it's someone you trusted and they betrayed your trust. We understand all this.
Right.
But we're saying, come on, God has something to say to all of us.
Yeah.
Even if you've been deeply hurt and mistreated, you cannot live in that for the rest of your life because you will be the only one suffering from this.
Yeah. And
there is a solution.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we would love to hear your thoughts. Please feel free to give us a call toll-free 1-800-338-7060 or the local number 410-483-3700. We are so thankful for the comments we are getting.
Especially
right now,
the last one, I think.
Cody, on Facebook.
Cody
and
said,
YouTube.
I'm not offended, by the way. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love Joanne's comment. She says, this is brilliant medicine for the soul,
amen.
Soul food in the real sense. David asks, has anybody out there ever been offended when you couldn't go live on Grace Hour?
Be honest now.
So far, not yet between him and I. I know I missed a few weeks, but again, my child was born and I had every right to not be here. Lisa says, why would you want to hold a grudge and let it affect yourself?
Yes.
So good to forgive. We are 100% for that. Forgiveness is freedom. The truth shall set you free. That's what Cody says. There's freedom in forgiveness. Cody Walker, our producer, also our top commenter of the day, just running things from behind the keyboard.
He's telling
Cody,
us what to say and what not to say from his keyboard. You know?
Yeah, I love
so
it.
So he's having a good time over there.
Okay, so let's recap a little bit.
Cody Walker a number so people can contact him and rebuke him?
I don't think we should. I think that's an invasion of privacy, and Cody's like dying right now, hoping that it doesn't happen.
Okay.
So let's recap a little bit. We're maybe in the last 5 or 7 minutes of the show.
Yes.
I have been hurt. How do I deal with it?
Yes.
Okay, we acknowledge it.
Yes.
We go to God. We acknowledge it before God.
Yes.
And then we take steps according to what God instructs us to do.
Yes.
This is really interesting. Psalm chapter 1 says, blessed is the man who sits not in the seat of the scornful, yes. but rather, verse 2, his delight is in the law yes. of the Lord, and in yes. his law does he meditate day and night.
Yes.
Then you go to Psalm 119. It talks about like when you are so focused on the law of the Lord, the word of God, very little things offend you.
Yes.
It's like you can choose to if you're sitting in the seat of the scornful, like I'm sitting here in the studio, you can choose to get up out of that seat and walk out of the seat of the scornful
uh-huh.
and let God minister to you for taking that step of faith mm-hmm. out of that mm-hmm. seat.
Yes.
Right? So we believe that God can do with it. And then yes. what's the next one? Who do I talk to when I've been hurt by the church? What did we say there?
I have to talk to the right person.
Absolutely.
And the right person, of course, as we said earlier, we go back to Matthew 18 and the three steps.
Yeah.
What you may be implied in the question is I went to the person and they don't, okay, well, then go to step two.
Yeah.
It's fine. And
yeah.
step two could be leaders in the church.
Yes.
What if it's the pastor? Then you have elders.
Yes.
In the church. And if you don't have elders in the church, something's wrong with it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something incorrect about the way your church
yes.
is set up, and it's like more of a power thing for that person in charge.
Yes.
You don't want to be around that because you're opening yourself up to more hurt that doesn't
yes.
need to be there.
Yes.
And now let's get to the last question and maybe cover it a little more. How do I guard my heart and keep my story from becoming gossip? So we talked about the marriage relationship, right?
Yes.
I think there's a really valid point in the marriage relationship that when you have forgiven your spouse for something or they have forgiven you for something, this is not something that pops up in a fight 6 months or a year or 2 years or 5 years or however many years down the road.
Yeah.
This is not something that comes back.
Yeah.
When you put it behind you, when you cover it with love, when you talk it out, if you need to talk it out and you come to an agreement and you guys are on the same page and you're moving forward together, it doesn't spring itself back up.
No, it doesn't.
Right?
It shouldn't.
Right. Yeah.
But it does. It does when we don't forgive each other.
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of like a telltale sign of, you know, have you really forgiven someone?
Yeah. That is what R.T. Kendall says in the book,
right.
You know, about Joseph. He says, you know, when he's about to reveal who he is, he asks everybody but his brothers to leave the room because
mm-hmm.
he doesn't want anybody to know the story.
This is nobody else's business.
And then he speaks Hebrew for the first time with them because he wants all these brothers to understand what he has to say directly.
Yeah.
And I think it's one way of showing that I have forgiven someone, according to R.T. Kendall, is that I'm not driven into gossip.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, like, it's interesting because it's, well, one way to guard myself from gossip is actually go through the process of Matthew 18 again.
Yeah.
I go through that. And then mm-hmm. if I don't get the resolve, you know, in the church or, you know, that I went through the process because a brother or a sister hurt me, then I have to make my own decisions before God. Of course I have to, but then gossip is never an option because
right.
just as being hurt is not an option, we shouldn't hurt each other. It does not give me the right. It's funny how it is. Like, okay, let's say I do something against you or you do I do something against you. You're hurt about it and you complaining because as a Christian, I shouldn't hurt you because
mm-hmm.
it's a sin.
Mm-hmm.
And then you feel vindicated. Now you can gossip against me because, and I'm saying, okay, so are you saying the sin of gossip is better than the sin of offending you?
Right.
That's what we were saying.
Right.
Here. So if sin is sin, it's sin for the both of us.
Right. Absolutely.
And that's why it's important. Do I want to be blessed in my life? Yes. And one way to be blessed is to understand I can let it go. I have to let it go sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, I have to look at myself and say, why is this having so much power in my soul, in my life?
Mm-hmm.
I need to resolve this. You know, I cannot let hurt be the one factor that directs my life on the daily basis. I can't do that. I can't afford to do that.
No, absolutely. And so if you go back to this idea of the root of bitterness that, mm-hmm. that springs up in a person, it comes in Hebrews chapter 12. It talks about living peaceably with all men if possible,
yes.
striving to keep that. And then, you know, when something happens and a root of bitterness springs up, it says that this root of bitterness actually goes and defiles others as well. It doesn't just affect you, it affects others. And I think about this also as like the idea of gossip and talking about a problem that's been settled and continuing to bring things up. And this is what the book of Proverbs says. And again, I am fascinated with how much the Bible speaks directly to us
mm-hmm.
whenever we're reading it. It says, Proverbs 26, verse 21, verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goes
mm-hmm,
out.
Mm-hmm.
So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases.
Yes.
And then again in verse 21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Finally, verse 22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. So like you've been hurt.
Yeah.
You've gone to the person, you've addressed it, you guys have settled it, it is over, but for whatever reason, there's a talebearer. It's you or the other person, who knows? But like, I'm reading this as if God's speaking to me. I don't want to be the coal. I don't want to be the wood. I don't want to be the one that brings it up again, because then the strife continues and then the root of bitterness spreads and then more people are hurt and defiled by it.
Yes.
Yeah. So these, I mean, amen. I don't know. These are just thoughts. These are just, let's see. We have another comment here.
It's Cody again.
Oh, it's Cody. Cody,
if
what is
I have pride that is holding me back from forgiving someone, how can I overcome that?
Mm.
Is that the personal question, Cody, or is it for everybody else?
It's a general question. If I have pride that is holding me back from forgiving someone.
It's a very good question. Yeah. I think, when you have a good question like this, Cody, just ask them earlier, because that's a loaded one.
That is a very loaded question.
Pride is one of the major issues we have in our life. We're not belittling hurt in one way, but there is a sense that we have to have in our soul. Like if I am easily offended, mm-hmm. it's because I think highly of myself as well.
Yeah.
I'm a kind of a big deal here. Yeah. So you don't talk to me this way. You don't, you know, and pride is one of the major issues we have in our hearts as people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you're hurt or whether you're the one hurt or you're the one that hurt people,
mm-hmm.
then we have pride in both ways. Yeah. You know, and that's Romans 13:8. What we do owe law to each other is love one another. That's what we owe each other.
Yeah. Right? David Norwood adding to the conversation. What percent of insecurity comes from pride? Not all of it. I suppose. What percent of insecurity comes from pride? Well, insecurity is a product of pride.
Yeah.
Right? Pride works in both directions. Yes. Pride works in thinking too highly of yourself or also thinking too lowly of yourself. And that's what insecurity is. Yes. It's like not being sure of yourself. So this all goes back to our relationship with God. Are we rooted and grounded in the faith? Are we rooted and grounded in His identity for us? If we are we able to walk in that love that He has given us to give to other people and the forgiveness that He has given us to forgive other people? I think it can happen. I think we're all capable of it. Yes. And I think, again, we've made all our disclaimers. We talked about what we're specifically addressing today. Mm-hmm. If you have been hurt, go to God.
Yes.
Go to God. If I cannot forgive, I only need to agree with God that He has forgiven. Agreement with God can produce forgiveness in my heart. Thank you very much, Honor Berganza. That's a statement worth ending the show on.
I'm going to repeat it again.
If I cannot forgive, capital cannot forgive, I only need to agree with God that He has forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Agreement with God can produce forgiveness in my heart.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, thanks so much for joining us today, guys. We really appreciate it. Don't forget to subscribe to our show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and many more. Be sure to join us for our next show tomorrow as we continue the subject of being hurt.